a story-based identity. This is the realm of object consciousness. This is the realm of thought. And this is what gives people their sense of self. And it is not substantial. There's always the feeling, I am not complete, and there's a looking out then for more. Now, in this civilization, the Western world, one dimension where that operates very strongly is the obsessive accumulation of objects, external objects, to identify with, because I think it's an unconscious compulsion to acquire more things. Because there's some feeling of, not enough yet, okay, let's go to the shopping mall. That, and I'll have two of those, and three of that. And then you come home with the bags. And then you take it out, and for a while you can add that to the, oh, that's my new dress, my new shoes, my new suit, my new whatever it is, and then you hang it. Sometimes you don't even wear it. And then it's a temporary satisfaction. And then, okay, what else can I fill myself up with? How else can I complete my always deficient sense of self? Let's see. I need to meet somebody interesting. You go out looking for... I need to master something. There's nothing wrong with that. I need to learn something so that I feel important and I can show them that I'm good at something. So you master something, and then you're better than others at it after a while. You can compare yourself to others. I'm better than. I know more than knowledge. Can add that, big mind objects. Or they have an image in their mind of their external appearance, which becomes a big mind object. If it happens to be good, then people will use that readily and have an image of me as better looking than most. And so you can carry that around, all in the realm of a mind-made sense of self, my appearance. And now, if you're not good-looking, then you have to look for something else. Knowledge. That was, for a few years, the case with me. I wasn't good-looking, but for a few years, I was reading books and studying and absorbing information. And after a while, that I felt knowledgeable. And then in the academic world, you show off then with you see how much you know. But there's always a sense of unease, because invariably you run into somebody who knows more than you. So you walk into a room in this unease, and then you make a casual remark to show how profound your knowledge is. And then somebody else says, you're completely wrong. This theory was proven to be a fallacy 3 years ago. Now, what happens when somebody does that to you and you had identified with a mind object? You said it, but it was in the service. Your sense of identity was in there. It was invested with a sense of self. And somebody now denies that this is untrue. 3 years ago, they proved, without any doubt, somebody is removing something from your sense of self. That's why people have such enormous reactions when they are trying to be right. And how dreadful it is, how it feels like dying when somebody shows you that you are wrong. The enormous emotional violence that comes with that. And even academics sometimes start... Even physical violence I have experienced there. Why? In the service of being right. Why do they need to be right? Because their sense of self is invested in a mental position. They don't know who they are beyond that. That's, and on a collective level, people fight wars about being right. Our religion. We are right, you are wrong. Identifying with mental positions as us, our position